All right, everyone, we are back. This is the House Committee on Rules, and this is February 28th, again, just like it was earlier today. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1540A, ask Representative Kenny Geyer to come up and talk to us about the dash 10 amendments, A10.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Vice Chairs, members of the committee. I'm Alyssa Kenny Geyer, and I represent Southeast and Northeast Portland, and I'm assuming the dash whatever is Sarah Gelser's stripping Section 1 from the bill. Thank you. I wanted to come and talk a little bit about a work group that I had planned to convene even before we decided to strip Section 10 out. And this is a result of a lot of conversations we had when the bill came to our committee. We understood about the reason for having Section 1 having coming out of the Salem-Keizer School District decision, which was looking at the statutes and interpreting that mandatory reporting was necessary anytime there was any kind of sexual contact with a person under the age of consent, so under 18, that they were concerned that because of this new interpretation of the mandatory reporting laws, the school district made, that teachers were concerned that any kind of witnessing they had of sexual contact or sexual activity or any discussions they had would lead them to have to do mandatory reporting. So that's the genesis of the bill. You probably know.
It's the genesis of the Section 1 of the
section
bill.
Section 1, sorry.
There's
thank
other
you.
Things in the bill. So.
Exactly. Thank you very much for clarifying that. So we had a really good debate, very respectful, healthy debate in our committee about the piece of it that was of most concern to some people, which was the age 12 to 14 piece. I think there was pretty broad consensus that high school was different, but there was concern around 12 to 14. And there was a lot of debate. I think everyone on the committee felt there was a very unanimous feeling that while some of sexual activity and contact among this age group may be pretty typical for 12 and 13 year olds, kissing, things like that, no one was saying that this was an okay thing, and everyone recognized that certainly sometimes patterns of abuse start early, and people want to catch that and make sure that that doesn't devolve into something really unhealthy. So the question was, you know, is it good to make sure that you cast the net very wide and report everything, or do you say that maybe not everything should be reported, because then you have that chilling effect of trusted adults not being able to have those confidential conversations. So I think that I felt like it was a very respectful conversation from everyone on the committee and everyone who testified with varying opinions about this, that we all had at our heart really trying to figure out what is the best way to really ensure that 12 and 13-year-olds, that we do early detection, intervention of 13-year-olds. So I just want to say that the idea of a work group, which I do intend to call together, came out of, there's a lot of common ground here in recognizing the gray area here and how do we really protect kids. And no one on this committee happens to also be on the Human Services Committee, but I do want to say on behalf of my committee, I thought it was a very respectful conversation. I didn't have time to print out what I wanted to say about the work group, because I regret taking out Section 1, because I think it dealt with a situation that I am concerned about. I am concerned with some of the unintended consequences of mandatory reporting for kids of all ages, middle school and high school. I'm concerned about overloading our DHS and police call lines when they're already strapped for resources, and I am concerned about the chilling effect of conversations. However, I recognize that the will of the body is to strip Section 1 out, and I do want to say that while I think we'll muddle along for the next few months, given that we will still lack clarity in the law around mandatory reporting, I am really excited about convening a work group. So during the deliberation in our committee, I heard from a lot of people who said they would really love to be a part of a work group to identify how we can best protect children who might be getting into risky sexual activity of any kind, particularly 12 and 13-year-olds, but frankly, throughout high school. So the idea is to try to examine how to best detect signs of possible child abuse, including risky sexual activity. Questions, for instance, should mandatory reporters file a child abuse report if they become aware that a child between the ages of 12 and 20 is engaged in sexual contact? Should there be different mandatory reporting requirements for children 12 to 14? How can we best support adolescents when they have questions, concerns, or need to talk to someone about questions relating to their bodies, their sexuality, someone wanting to have sex with them, and all the myriad fact patterns associated with this dynamic? I do want to say a lot of what I'm reading actually came from Allison Kelly, who is the head of Liberty House and also serves as the chair of all the child abuse prevention networks. She's the one that had a floor letter arguing that the age should be raised to 14. So a lot of the ideas that I have here have actually been talking with her. And then beyond healthcare providers, making sure that kids have access to health providers and parents, how can we really equip other adults who are regularly in children's lives with the tools they need to make sure that they detect signs of possible abuse early on? For instance, a free warm line, not a hotline, but a warm line, a real person, it might be a medical provider, a therapist, to help reinforce children's self-worth if somebody is trying to pressure them into having sex and they don't want to. Protocol to refer any knowledge of sexual activity or contact to someone other than police or DHS, CPS, for instance, a school counselor. Bringing additional resources to the table, such as better support for implementation of Aaron's Law and more access to the two-hour Darkness to Light Stewards of Children training, which is the only nationally recognized and normed training for recognition and awareness and prevention of child sexual abuse. These are some of the ideas that have come out of particularly my conversations with Allison Kelly, but others who said there is so much more that we could do. But, you know, there's like, don't report, not and then report. There's so much more that we could be doing to be protecting kids. There are several other concepts for work groups out there floating around related to House Bill 4009, for instance, relating to child safety, child welfare. And we may want to take a larger view on how do we really, protect kids in the state, but I would want to make sure that this work group is not redundant with anything that DHS may be doing around child welfare or the governor may be doing. This has all been in the last few days, so I've put feelers out. Like, what else is happening? I wouldn't want to be redundant. But depending on what our specific scope is, I would want it to be bipartisan, bicameral. Allison Kelly, who's board chair of the Child Abuse Centers, is willing to help facilitate this. Members could include representatives of the governor's office, DHS, DOJ, OHA, possibly a CCO rep, Early Learning Council, Youth Development Council, schools, including OEA, COSA, OSBA, school nurses, school-based health clinic personnel, OMA, ONA, medical providers, hospitals, mental health therapists, Oregon Network of Child Abuse and Intervention Centers, AG's Sexual Abuse Task Force, Foster Youth Association, Oregon Abuse, I think I said abuse, Oregon Abuse Advocates and Survivors in Service, Mental Health Therapists, Foster Association, District Attorneys Association, Law Enforcement, perhaps additional youth representatives and other stakeholders. We don't want it to be huge, but I want to just tell you that
really? Because that was.
These are ideas depending on what the scope is. I've asked Andy Olson, my vice chair, who I'm very sad to see will be leaving, but I'm like, you're still here until January. Would you be willing to help with this? He's had a, he's had a huge passion around this, and we want Senate too. I know Sarah Gelser, Senator Sarah Gelser, would want to be a part of it. There might be many others that want to be a part of it. I don't want to open it to the whole world because I'm not running this as a task force with any monetary request. I'm just going to send out an email and invite people and try to get this thing going because I am really passionate about the possibility of bringing us together around. I know that at the heart we all want the same thing for the kids who are under 18 around child abuse, and I'm really hoping that we come back in 2019 with a bill related to this section that can provide clarity and have everyone be a part of. In the meantime, I'm very eager for you, if you pass this amendment, to pass the rest of the bill mm-hmm. back, because sections 2 and 3, which I haven't gone into here, are really, really critical to pass, and we cannot lose that. And they have completely broad support, and I'm happy to go into that if you want me to.
I think that's unnecessary. I will say thank you for all of your work on this. There does need to be clarity in the law, I think. Going forward with a work group with stakeholders is the right thing to do. I know you mentioned a whole group of associations, but you know, I really hope that we bring our teachers into this, since they are. This is where, you know,
they're on the front lines.
they're on the front lines and making sure that our teachers have the right training and know how to keep our kids safe.
Absolutely, so, they're critical.
Yeah, they're absolutely.
The adults, yes, who are the ones that are in children's lives on a regular basis for so many hours a day, mm-hmm, those are the ones that we are going to rely on to be on the front lines and that need the most support.
Right. Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -810 amendments to Senate Bill 1540.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved to adopt the 810 amendments. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1540 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 1540A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Not, motion passes. I'm going to close the work session. Anything else we need to do?
Carrier.
I know. I'll figure that out.
One point. Can you short recess?
Yes, we can do a short recess.
Thank you.
Is that what you would like?
You stand at ease?
Stand.
All right, with that, we're adjourned.